Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Joan very well, except that you're probably surprised that she's here on a Monday. She's usually here on Thursday, and on Thursday I'm going to be doing some other stuff because, as most of you know, I've got a lot of stuff going on this week as we're up here doing our annual pilgrimage for Small Business Week, and we're kicking it off with the folks at Kiplinger, including Joan Pride, who's been just a stalwart supporter of ours and a longtime, extremely successful member of our Brain Trust. And Joan, it's good to have you back. It's good to be here, actually.
No, I'm very confused. I'm looking at you.
Well, no, we did this once.
It's not Thursday?
We did this once before.
We did.
A long time ago.
Yes.
You came over, but it was on a Thursday, though.
Yeah.
That you came over, but I've never done the show in Kiplinger. But let me say this, and I'm going to say this to all the other guys on the show today. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
The 80th anniversary of Kiplinger, folks. Joan, actually, you only made you didn't make the first five, right?
I was going to say, I don't feel that old.
Well, it's a great story. It's a great tradition in news reporting, and I'm just excited to know you guys, to be part of it. But let's get into the letter. We got some things we want to talk about. This week in the letter, you guys begin by talking about the deficit. Is the deficit a big deal?
It's a huge deal. It's a very big deal, and it's going to be a big deal for the rest of the decade. That's the problem.
Yeah. I was talking, you know, last week we did our, as you know, and we're going to talk about it in a minute, the Federal Open Market Committee is meeting tomorrow for their every six-week meeting or so, and that's when they decide what they're going to do with rates, and we're going to talk about that in just a second, a little bit later on in the segment. But one of my economists, one of the two economists that we did the show with me, we did our FedWatch show on Friday, said that these deficits, he said there are two kinds, and I'm probably not using the exact terminology, but this is paraphrasing him. They're temporary deficits and they're systemic deficits. He says these are systemic. They're not temporary. Temporaries are the ones that you go into when you have an emergency in the nation. You know, we've got to spend a lot of money by the government, et cetera, et cetera. He said these are systemic. They're part of our overall fiscal program, and he says they're dangerous.
Well, and here's what's interesting to me. The deficits that we've seen the last couple of years have been explained away by saying, well, it's just a small percentage of GDP compared to the terrible deficits in the early 80s. But if you look at what we're talking about here, we're creeping up to almost the same level of GDP that we had back then.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have a pretty serious problem, I think.
Well, and you're looking at, according to you guys this week, you're looking at 5% of GDP next year, which is the highest in 20 years.
Exactly. Getting close to that 6% level from 1983.
Yeah. Well, what is Kiplinger attributed to?
Well, we say in a turn of phrase here, attributable roughly equally, say that five times.
Yeah, I don't want to say that.
To the slow economy that we've been having, to more government spending, and also to your favorite thing, the tax cuts.
The tax cuts. I love those tax cuts, yeah. Well, we have this to me, the tax cuts, in terms of the deficit, the tax cuts are like saying you're going out and buying a bunch of seed, and you got the money out for the seed, but you got no fruit yet. You got no yield on the seed yet. So you got to plant them in the ground. You got to water them. You got to nurture them. You got to give them time to grow and to produce fruit. We haven't done that yet.
Sounds like trickle down to me.
I love it. Yeah, it's the stuff that dreams are made of.
But see, I can see you today, and I know you have a little button there. But if I say something you don't like,
it's exactly right. I have the button. What you didn't know, Joan, is I always had the button.
I know. Now I realize that.
Okay. Well, no, I think that. But now here's the thing: we have to remember. It's not. It is the economy, and the economy's coming back. I mean, you guys already know. You're reporting this. The economy's the second half is going to be tremendous compared to where we've been. 2004, they're looking at. Both economists last week said that they were looking at a really good 2004, something in the neighborhood of over 4%. I think you guys are projecting that as well for 2004. So that's the fruit. That's some of the seeds coming up there and producing fruit. But we're still going to have a spending problem. By our government.
That's right.
And some of the spending is not on Homeland Security. It's not on things that we need that are good deficit spending things. It's on pork.
But also remember, a lot of
No, that's true. I agree with you. The thing that we're going to have to do is, and I don't know, Joe, and obviously I'm not the expert, and the administration rarely listens to me about these things, but we got to get the economy back on track. We've done what we had to do to get the economy going. We got to get the economy back on track. We got to get some sense of normalcy to the economy, and when things settle down in Iraq or overseas, then we can say, okay, this is what we need to do to fine tune this thing, and let the economy grow revenues, and if we got to, and I'm not going to say raise taxes, but if we have to make some adjustments on the fiscal side, you know, whatever that takes.
What do you mean by make adjustments on the fiscal?
It's my way of not saying taxes, Joan. You're not going to make me say it.
But aren't you concerned that these deficits are going to make the recovery less robust than it otherwise would be?
Yes, but I'm afraid that if we hadn't had the deficits, at least the ones that were created by lowering taxes and by some of the government spending, we wouldn't be having a recovery. You know, they're already projecting that part of the recovery right now is from directly attributable to the tax refunds that people are getting.
Do you know how much that is?
I do not know. I saw that, but that I had that was published, but I don't have it in my head. So anyway, the problem is we do have these deficits, and it mounts up to the government competing for capital in the marketplace, doesn't it?
Exactly, and we talk about that. It's going to raise the cost of business investment and the cost of mortgages too, because rates are going to go up.
And of course, we know who's going to the Democrats are going to blame Mr. Bush, aren't they?
Why not?
Well, and of course, you know he and you know what he is to blame for part of it. He did cut taxes. That was his deal. He did. He is responsible for all the Homeland Security spending. I agree with that. But what about the spending?
The pork?
Yeah, the pork.
There's plenty of blame to go around.
You don't think that's just the Democrats?
I don't know.
No, I think you're right. And the thing is isn't it ironic that we've got to get to a surplus where we have more money than we need before people stop spending, before politicians stop spending? Remember in the 90s, they were afraid to burst the deficit bubble?
That's right.
And so they didn't spend. Isn't that ironic?
That's right.
It's really incredible.
Yeah, the deficit helped hold down spending, ironically enough. Mm-hmm. And now that we had a surplus.
You meant the surplus held down.
No, I thought the deficit actually
held
down.
We'll work this out, folks, in a minute. We're going to go best 2 falls out of 3 off the air here. 20 after. Stay with us. We're going to be right back with Joan Pride. We're celebrating Kiplinger's 80th anniversary. What a milestone. 20 after. Stay with us, please.
Come down off your throne and leave your body low.
Back. 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, 800-531-3815. Toll-free coast-to-coast, and my website is www.jbsba.com. And I'd like to encourage you to check out Kiplinger's website as well, folks, KIPLINGER.com, www.kiplinger, with the G-I, it's kind of silent there, but it's there, and at Kiplinger.com, a lot of good stuff there. Don't forget to subscribe to their newsletters, four different letters they have, I should say, and they come by email, they come by print, whatever you want, they got it, and you can subscribe there online. Joan, give us that phone number, too.
Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
And later in the next hour, we'll talk a little bit about that other magazine thing you guys got going on. All right, let's talk about the Fed. As you know, the Fed's meeting tomorrow, the Federal Open Market Committee is meeting tomorrow. About 19 of those guys will get together when they're in full complement, and Joan, we ordinarily do our FedWatch show the morning of the meeting, but since I'm traveling and doing other things this week, we did it last Friday with our two of the Brain Trust members who are economists, and we agreed with you guys.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled.
Tell us what you said.
Well, we asked a Federal Reserve rate cut, which is hard to believe that we'd be talking about a cut at this point. We've been talking about getting ready to raise rates, and we're saying not this month, but maybe later.
Well, now, wait a minute. I'm not going to let you... Later, I mean, later is like could be 2004. I mean, 2006 or something like that. Well, we agreed with the first part. No rate cuts. not going to be any rate cuts, no rate increases. They're going to stay like it is. I don't even think they're going to lean towards anything. When they, you know, they give their little hint, that they, that thing that they do, a little telegraphing of the punch. I don't even think they're going to lean anywhere, because one thing, they got to be liking the news. They got to be liking the economic news, right?
Right.
Because they, I mean, they got to be sleepless nights at the Fed, worrying that the economy wasn't going to recover. They, what are they down to, 0.75% now?
They're,
no. Is it 1 or 3 quarters? I forget. Anyway, it's
they're down at the rock bottom.
Yeah, they're about as close as they can go. Why can't I remember that? But anyway, the thing is that I think it's 1 point on the Fed funds rate. So that means prime is at 4. So the thing is that it's they got to be glad that the economy's picking up. And so that's the reason they're not going to do anything. And I'll tell you what, it'll be a year before they raise rates, if they raise them, at least a year.
And I think if they don't lean any way, I think it's a sign that they want to leave the door open for a cut if they think that the economy is maybe stalling a little bit and they need to give a little punch.
Right. Joan, let's move over to page 3 and talk a little bit about the Senate situation. You guys have taken a measure of the Senate elections coming up in 2004, and what'd you find?
Well, it looks like the Republicans are going to gain a little bit in 2004.
Yeah.
We're saying
8, 9 seats?
Well, don't get too excited here. We're saying 1 or 2,
yeah,
net, because I think the big problem for the Democrats is a lot of retirements in the South, which is becoming increasingly Republican.
Edwards is retiring.
Can't
believe it or not.
Hollings is retiring.
Yeah, yeah.
You have, and Hollings is a good example of someone who has held that seat for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been a solid Democratic
right.
seat, even though it's a Republican area.
Right.
And losing that seat is almost, I wouldn't say a sure pickup for the Republicans, but I'm sure they're licking their chops.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. So that'll be interesting. And, of course, even 1 or 2 more votes for either party, when you get into the 52, 53, 54 range, that's a whole lot better than where they are right now.
Well, the magic number is really 60 in the
yeah,
Senate.
You're right.
You can't seem to do anything nowadays without 60
right.
because that allows you to block any filibusters.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Joan, let's move on down to a completely different subject, but I know this is an area that you've covered. Talk to us about this flex plan issue in the health care.
Well, this is exciting. Flexible spending accounts, which your employees may have, reimburse employees for health care expenses that aren't covered under insurance. And one of the problems with these plans is they've never reimbursed non-prescription drugs. They've always reimbursed prescription drug costs.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been a lot of popular drugs like Claritin and Prilosec that are now available over the counter.
Right.
But they're very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now the IRS is saying it's okay to allow people to reimburse themselves for the cost of over-the-counter drugs.
That's a big deal, isn't it? That's really going to help a lot of folks, isn't it?
Sure, because a lot of people are concerned about, you know, flex accounts, anything you lose at the end of the year, anything you leave at the end of the year is lost. And
so you had to pay for these drugs that weren't covered under the flex plan, and then you still had to lose some of the, you lost money that you didn't spend.
You could have, that's right.
Yeah, so now that's really a double positive there, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah. We like those double positives around here, so, well, that's good news. Thanks for that report. So let's move over and talk about power grid. Remember the other when they had the blackout, and I said that I predicted that they're going to find out after all this hand wringing about, you know, we have an antiquated third world power grid, et cetera, and I said it was probably going to be a limb that fell across the tree or a squirrel in a motor or something like that.
Right.
Remember me saying that, Joan?
Right.
They now think that's what it was. A limb that fell
you
off across the line.
To say that.
Yeah, I told New York Times to say that,
right.
And they listened to me, of course. Yeah, absolutely, Joan. Let's wrap it up because we got some other things we got to do. You're going to have to move on. I want to say thank you, though. It's not our anniversary yet because that's coming up in a few months. But on behalf of my audience, I want to say thank you to you for what you've meant to us in the last several years and what Kiplinger has meant to us over the last 80 years.
Well, thank you, Jim. And we are very happy to have you here on our anniversary week. This is pretty exciting.
Thanks for the hospitality. Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and she's going to be back, and well, she's going to be hanging around a little bit, but she's not going to be back on the air probably for maybe a week or so. It's 29 after. I'm going to be right back with Knight Kiplinger, the editor-in-chief of the Kiplinger.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.